This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's session of Bulls, Bears, and Whiskey. My name is Felix Ucheng. As usual, I'm your host as we move through discussing various issues regarding investment midweek. My colleague, Eric Asuma, will be moderating today's session. Eric, are you on board?
Hi, Felix. Yes, I'm on board, man.
Yes, Eric. Probably you can give guys a little bit of a highlight as Davis prepares to join in. And then from there, we can proceed with today's session. Thank you.
Thanks, Felix. I think we can kick off with a bit of introduction of what's been happening across the markets in the course of the week. A lot has happened both locally and across the globe. I think I can start with what happened. So I think the major news that have happened locally was the announcement over the weekend that the Ethiopian government had granted the Safaricom-led consortium a license to operate in the country. So I think, as most of you are aware, I think Safaricom was competing with a number of companies, including MTN, the South African telco. But I think they managed to, Safaricom managed to clinch the license, I think, beating MTN. What Safaricom had bid was about, I think, from what was shared in the media, was about 91 billion Kenyan shillings, against what MTN, I think, what they had bid was around, MTN had bid around 600 million USD. So I think that's what made, say, Safaricom clinch that that particular deal. I think there's been a lot of expectations from, say, the market, from investors. I think what we've seen over the week is that Safaricom's share price has really skyrocketed. And before that, Safaricom had issued a warning to the investors, basically telling them to be very cautious about trading with a counter, given the recent news. And in our last call with the Safaricom CEO, I think for those who tuned in, we had a brief chat with the CEO, that's Peter Ndegwa, to discuss the full year financials, whereby they had performed well, in as much as there was a dip in profit. But given the environment, they really performed very well. But he had mentioned that at the time that they expected the announcement from Ethiopia anytime soon. So it's basically a week apart since the results release and the announcement that they had that they will go into Ethiopia. Since then, we've had Safaricom has held a briefing. I think they held a briefing this week, where which I think we had it here on the Telegram channel, which was live, basically a briefing with Safaricom's management and the media and investors. I think that a lot of issues that he had out, but in the course of the week, they also shared some details about how they will structure that particular deal. But I think a lot stood out for me. And I think probably I'll take you through from our call with the management, a number of things that I thought, I think, were very significant to investors. One was on the structure of how they will handle that particular deal. I think there are a number of vehicles or special purpose vehicles that they have formed particularly to handle the Ethiopian deal. Then the other thing that also stood out was that there'll be the consortium will be starting operations in Ethiopia in 2022. At the moment, they are awaiting final clearance from the Ethiopian government. So once they get that, they'll be trying to set up in Ethiopia, I think, for the first when they start out before they roll out mobile money services, it will be the usual telecommunication services. So basically GSM. And that's what Peter Ndegwa shared in our call with Peter Ndegwa earlier in the week. So I think in terms of how much they will expect to, how much they will, they estimate to invest in that particular market, they mentioned that in the long run, I think that the total investment will amount to nearly $8 billion. And the Ethiopian Prime Minister, Abiy, announced that that will be the largest direct foreign investment into Ethiopia. That will be the largest direct foreign investment into the country. I think it's very, very, very significant. I think also what's also important is that I think Ethiopia is one of the last markets in Africa whereby where there's a massive, massive opportunity and there's a huge, huge population. It's the second largest country in Africa with a population of more than, I think, 112 million people, which is very, very significant. And it's one of the last countries, I think, in the world to introduce competition in the telco industry. I think part of, for those who've been following up on the news, when Abiy stepped in, when he came into government, he said that part of the reforms will be to liberalize the economy and to introduce competition into sectors like telecommunications, banking. And I think it's very, very positive for African companies, specifically for Kenyan companies who are looking to venture into the Ethiopian market. I think part of this Safaricom, also I think what's also important to mention is that in the briefings, the CEO, Peter Ndegwa, tackled a number of questions. I think one was around, I think as you are aware, we've discussed this in the channel, is that Ethiopia's restrictions with regards to repatriation of foreign profits or cash from the country towards it. Something important that Peter mentioned in this week's call is that part of their negotiation with the Ethiopian government is that I think they have a leeway in terms of, or they have a deal in terms of how they'll be repatriating the cash from Ethiopia into outside. I think that's very, very significant because I think one of the challenges companies like Dangote have been facing are around how do they repatriate cash from Ethiopia into the country. I think, as you are aware, Ethiopia has a number of challenges with regards to foreign exchange. I think to FX. So I think the deal that's the team that was handling this, I think they structured it very well. In terms of the companies that helped Safaricom arrange all this entire deal, I think that was Stanbic, if I'm not wrong, maybe. The others, I think, maybe Felix. Can you remember the others who are part of the deal?
Eric, yes, I'm going to mention that in a bit. But then also just to add a little bit on what a lot of guys are probably wondering on the share price activity. I know Davis is on board and he'll be able to mention something on that. But I'd also just want to explain to guys on one thing. Safaricom has been rallying the past few days, from Monday actually, Safcom rallied, and then though today we saw a little bit of a market ease. You see, one of the things that investors fail to understand over time is that investors are always thinking that returns, most retail investors would always like to think that returns on any kind of purchase is likely to happen almost instantly. Activity that companies would undertake. An example is the entry, and also just to clarify to everybody else who's listening, it's not Safaricom that is going into Ethiopia. Safaricom is just part of a larger group that actually bid for Ethiopia. So I would always encourage you guys to have a long, probably a long-term outlook. And Eric, I know we were on the call with you, and you remember when Safaricom CEO actually informed guys that they're not going to start getting dividends or returns tomorrow or next week or next year. It might actually take long before we see Safaricom repatriate funds from Ethiopia, but I know that he's hoping, and we're all hoping, that by the time we get to a point when Safaricom would be moving, would need the company. For now, I think we'd just assume that we'd call them Voda Family Ethiopia. We're really hoping that by the time that the company would now want to move funds from Ethiopia, then we would have regulations in Ethiopia that actually have a little bit of that would be favorable to not only to Safaricom and the companies, but also to every other company. There are a lot of companies, and I know Kenya Airways can actually come in as a testimony for companies that rely on repatriating funds from Ethiopia. So that's one thing that I know a lot of guys would really be looking into. But then maybe let me just welcome Davis to the chat. Hi, Davis. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks man. Thanks for joining. Probably let's just start, Davis. What would be your take on Ethiopia as just generally, probably 1 or 2 minute headliner before we get a little bit of in-depth analysis on what's been happening this week?
Well, it's a very vast market. I believe the population is slightly above 110 million, which is 2.5 times Kenya's population. And then also there's a low penetration rate, at least as far as telecommunications go, around roughly slightly above 40%, if I'm not mistaken, in comparison to Kenya's, which is roughly 90%. Hence, you see the bullish nature that Safaricom is approaching the market, which has a lot of prospects going forward. Yeah, all things considered.
All right, Davis. And also, maybe if you just give a little bit of insight also, and then Eric, you can join in as well, probably to call the shots as we move into, because I know there are a lot of companies that have touched on, have released the financial results. This evening we saw KCB and Diamond Trust Bank. Earlier today we had TPS Eastern Africa release one of the worst results that we've seen from the company in recent times, and we also saw Equity Bank release the results. So we'll definitely be touching on that. But Eric and Davis, probably starting with Eric first, what would be your outlook on Safaricom as an individual? And also, just to clarify, to make a disclaimer to everybody who's listening, all the opinions that are on this show, basically analyst opinion, and necessarily does not imply that we are giving a recommendation on any security. So you need to do your own research before you make any purchase or any sale on any security that is listed either in local or on offshore market. Eric?
Hey, that's a tricky call to make, Felix, but look, I think since the start of the year, I've been on the optimist side with regards to Safaricom. On the entry to Ethiopia, in the long term, I view it as something that's quite positive for a local company to be part of that entire, to be part of that consortium. And I think the kind of negotiations that Safaricom did for them to retain a majority of the Ethiopian operations, I think around 56%, 55.70, I think works well for local investors. I think where I see the catch is when they introduce mobile money. The CEO mentioned, I think in the previous call, Felix, if you remember, Peter Ndegwa mentioned that in the next 1 year, according to the Prime Minister's words, they'll be introducing, if when they're allowed to introduce, because the current license doesn't allow them to operate mobile money, but in the next 1 year, part of that includes them. Hopefully in the next 1 year, they'll be introducing mobile money services. I think that's why I see the cut, because when you look at the telco business, I think it's capex. If they'll need a lot of funds, resources to set up basically the infrastructure, because I think it's going to be massive. And I don't think we should expect any profits or any positive in the bottom line. I'm not sure there's something positive to be expected from that. But once they introduce mobile money, I think it's going to be a big win for them. In as much as the Ethio Telecom has, they already have a head start. I think Felix's discussion that we've had is that part of what was in the news that I think when Ethio Telecom launched, in less than a week they had in a week they had like over a million users, registered users, for the mobile money services, which tells you the kind of potential that has. So I think a year down the line won't be difficult for Safaricom to catch up. The advantage that Ethio Telecom has, say, is the telco business, so it's easier for them to embed mobile money on top of their telco business. So in as much, I think it's going to be capex heavy for Safaricom, but in the long run, I think it's quite positive. I don't know, maybe Davis, you can touch on probably your views on how that will affect Safaricom's books once they start releasing, once the Ethiopian business starts being positive. And maybe when they kind of cost, how do you think they're going to handle that? And another thing that I think it's important to mention, the CEO mentioned that in the week, he mentioned that they expect, someone asked a question around which brand name will be used for the Ethiopian business. Is it Safaricom? They're going to look for a new brand name, which I thought was a very, very important question. But he mentioned that they're still working on that. So once they're finalized on a few details, I think they'll make that public. So, but my view is that, look, I'm still optimistic about the counter. As Safaricom as a company, I think it's a good company. I think largely because of their mobile money business. I think it's not yet saturated. I think a report that also been there is that I think there's some guys who are offering to give Vodafone 25 times the current valuation of M-Pesa business. So which tells you, I think they have quite a good business. And on his app, there's a question. I think we did a simple poll, asked guys, if Safaricom clinches the Ethiopian license, where do you see the share price in both the short term and the long? Basically, in the short term. So we had a target of between 40 to 45. And then the other one was between 45 to 50. The other one was above 50. From when I looked at the results today, most people are between 45 to 50. And I think at the moment, you are between 40 to 45. So not bad. I think it's good to have to look back, say, in 2 weeks or so. Once we have enough details, I think it will be much clearer. And even after Safaricom, say, when they release the half-year results in a few months' time, that will be a good point to look back and make maybe another call on where we expect the share price to be at. Thanks. Davis?
Eric, just a minute before Davis actually speaks, because I want him to also touch on something. Today we saw this morning news that Safaricom is actually opposing a proposal by the Treasury to split mobile money services from the telecommunications line. So I think a lot of guys are probably just wondering, and Davis, I know you've really been looking on Safcom, and I know all of us are always looking on Safcom from a mobile money aspect, because, you know, even when Safcom was moving into Ethiopia, there was a lot of activity and analysis with guys looking at the at Safaricom from an angle of mobile money. Maybe my concern would really be the headset that Telebir, which is Ethio Telecom's mobile money outfit, yes, they already have a higher head start, and these companies already also have a little bit of a higher aspect in terms of the company. Just generally, they already have a higher footprint. Maybe the take would be, yes, we're looking at a million guys a day. The numbers, if we can review these numbers in the next 1 year, It would be something very interesting. But generally, what would be your take from the local perspective on Safaricom being split? The mob, and we saw this happen in Uganda, where the Bank of Uganda is now actually regulating mobile money services in the country as financial services, and the telecommunications side being handled by the Uganda Communications Commission, that's UCC. If Uganda is able to do this, Kenya, we've had this mull a lot, probably about 3 or 4 times, and we're seeing Safaricom remain stand, the remaining firm on their stand that they don't think it's a good idea splitting mobile money from the telecommunications bit. But also at the same time, Safaricom really giving guys another shoulder that, you know what, we are now looking at ourselves as a telecommunications, as a tech company. Davis, what would be your take on that?
Okay, so those are many questions. I'll begin with the Ethiopian market, quite an interesting market. Again, as we mentioned, the addressable market is extremely high, and so there's a lot of growth prospects, especially when you consider the penetration rate. Of chief concern going into the market is, first of all, CapEx. So we've heard that the consortium led by Safaricom will have to, or has committed to, spending $8.5 billion over a period of 10 years. That's 850. Considering today's exchange rate, that's slightly above 850 billion Kenya shillings. That's almost a trillion shillings over the period of, 10 years. And with this in mind, all the capital outlay that's necessary for the infrastructure, it may weigh down on the company's free cash flows. We remember that the vehicle that's going into Ethiopia, it's a special purpose vehicle. Technically, it's supposed to have a form of bankruptcy remoteness, so it's supposed to be separate from the entity that is utilizing it. But considering that Safaricom has above 50% stake, this is considered a subsidiary, and so the earnings or the books of this entity, even though they're meant to be separate from the parent company, Safaricom is likely to include them in its own books. Going forward, that means that the CapEx charges will affect Safaricom's books, depreciation, and the like going forward. Now, of chief concern, of course, going into this market, and I was looking at a certain thing. I believe this was done by Mwango Capital. So of chief concern going into this market is, first of all, there's no mobile money license. The regulations at present do not exist. And so what's going to happen is that Safaricom is almost going to be like Airtel with regard to the Kenyan market. They'll need to reduce their cost to compete favorably with Ethio Telecom. Just to give guys some of the figures, if you are to with regard to voice per minute at peak rates, Ethio Telecom, I'll use dollars just for comparison's sake, such that you don't convert to beer. In dollar terms, peak rates for Ethio Telecom are 0.0115, whereas off-peak are 0.008. In comparison to Safaricom, in Kenya, Safaricom has pricing power. Considering that the market leader and the like, they're able to state their own prices as they will and please. But in the Ethiopian market, they're unlikely to do so. So if you compare what Safaricom charges now, that's 0.039, that's 4.3 shillings during peak hours for voice per minute. And you compare that with the voice per minute for Ethio Telecom, Safaricom may need to reduce how much it charges for voice per minute by roughly 71% to compete favorably with Ethio Telecom. It's similar to the model that Airtel is using in the Kenyan market, which unfortunately has led to quite large losses. I believe even the losses last year were roughly 5 billion Kenya shillings, yeah. So Safaricom going into the market, from the word go, they'll make losses on voice, data, and messaging, because they need to reduce their prices quite significantly. And because they don't have market share, they don't have the pricing power that's necessary for them to state whatever price that they would like, in a sense. So going into the market, they'll incur losses on voice, data, and messaging. And those of chief concern, those are the primary lines of revenue going into the market. Because again, mobile money doesn't exist, or the licensing, they haven't yet gotten it, so they can't give it, at least at present. That's of concern, because mobile money would have offset the losses that they would have been making in the telco business. So going in, they'll make losses, and the hope is that through the funding structure that they go in with, I suspect with how low interest rates are, okay, assuming that inflation doesn't rise in the US, then the Fed raises rates. If inflation is transitionary indeed at present, they're likely to, the structure of the vehicle is likely to be highly geared, meaning that it's likely to have a lot of debt financing. With low interest rates, of course, those would be lower, such that interest expenses would be lower. So it's kind of favorable for the company. But still, being unable to offer those mobile money services will make it so difficult for them to offset the losses that they're making elsewhere. So they'll incur losses early on, and then they'll need to do what? They'll need to somehow, I'm sure the management has done research and analysis into this market, they need to increase their market share significantly to the extent that they can have some form of pricing power. But this would be a really price competitive market. Ethio Telecom is unlikely to increase their rates. In fact, I'd be tempted to say that in the midst of competition, they would actually reduce how much they're charging to compete even more favorably, which will cut deeper and deeper into the margins of this unit. So it will be a lot of the parent entities of the SPV that are funding this subsidiary to offset the losses that are being incurred. At least that's my point of view. That's the likelihood of the model going forward. But again, it's a very huge market. So that's what they have going for them. They'll focus on areas that have not yet been tapped into, maybe focus areas that Ethio Telecom hasn't focused on, and enable them to increase revenues in that particular way. But in the short run, the optimism on the share price, you have to realize that Safcom is trading at almost a P/E ratio of 25. That's extremely high. Of course, people give the argument that it's a tech firm, it's fintech, especially when you consider that M-Pesa at present has surpassed the telco business revenues. I guess you can argue for that particular line of thinking. But still, you're paying quite the premium if you buy the share price at what, roughly 42. You have to consider that the growth prospects in Ethiopia may not be, or the earnings and revenues from Ethiopia in the short to medium term, so 2 to 5 years thereabouts, may not be enough to justify the present share price. So you'd likely see a correction. But then again, you know, the market can stay irrational longer than a lot of people can stay liquid. So it may even remain at elevated levels for a while, but it's worth noting that in light of all these factors, you know, Safcom going forward may not announce, or is unlikely to announce special dividends. They may even end up reducing the dividend, but don't quote me anywhere. Yeah, so those are of chief concern. With regard to our local market, the question on separating Safaricom, it's interesting. When we have discussions with people over this, they tend to say that even when you look at M-Pesa Global, the structure at present, the fact that it has a CEO, it's almost as if Safaricom is preparing to split it into a separate unit, or maybe forced to do as such. We've seen cases such as Airtel sold a percentage of its mobile money unit, and mobile money units are quite profitable, as has been evidenced by the statements that were made. You know, people are offering up to 25 times earnings just to buy mobile money units from these global telcos. MTN, I believe, in one of its subsidiaries in Africa, actually stated that it's making plans going forward to split off mobile money. So it's one of those considerations that have to be made by investors going forward, because if Safaricom and M-Pesa are split, the telco and the mobile money unit are split, this would mean that Safaricom's earnings would reduce by roughly 80 billion, so the earnings of M-Pesa. Now, bearing that in mind, this would reduce the share price, or at least value, when valuing the company, so with such a large reduction in the value of the company, you'd value it at roughly a third to half of less than what it currently is. So it's among the risks to consider going forward for investors. Yeah, those are my thoughts. Sorry for speaking for a while.
Thanks, Dave.
Sorry, Eric. Maybe I'm seeing Charles Karuri. You wanted to jump in on that?
Yeah, I wanted to chime in there. And thanks, Davis, for that for those insights. And I think I agree with you in the sense that Safaricom venturing into Ethiopia in the probably short to medium term will be quite expensive for the business. I think for me, in terms of splitting the in the local market, splitting Safaricom and M-Pesa, I think that that is will be the eventual outcome, given the size of M-Pesa in regards to the financial system. So from a regulatory perspective, I think a central bank will need to rein in on its operations just to make sure that in the event of a failure, the overall financial system then does not collapse. There are significant interdependencies between M-Pesa and the banking system. So I think that will definitely come through. In terms of, as you've said, the outlook of the share price, I think, yeah, there may be a challenge there. More so once the investment in Ethiopia starts flowing through the financial statements. And as Davis has said, I think, not to be quoted, but yeah, I'm really keen to see how that turns out. Thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot, Charles. Eric, back to you.
On the recommendation to split Safaricom from to split M-Pesa from Safaricom, I think during Bob's tenure, at some point, the Communications Authority hired an independent company which was called, if I remember very well, Anisys Mason. I think they gave out their own independent research and report, and I think what they recommended is that they detach M-Pesa from Safaricom. I think that was around 2016, 2017. However, I think what we saw at the time is that that never went through. I'm sure even the government itself, which is a major, a significant shareholder in Safaricom, I think they've always opposed this, even given comments from the ministry. So I'm not sure this time, once, because it's been brought up again, I'm not sure it will go anywhere. I think it will, Safaricom, as I think what they've always done, and they usually do is they lobby. I think once they do the lobbying and all that, then I think at some point it's dropped off. At the time, we thought that was much more serious, but I'm sure this time around, from looking at what has happened before, I think we've had several recommendations who have basically saying to let M-Pesa be separated from the telco business. So I think on that end, I'm not sure it will go anywhere. I think what the management has always said, even Peter, it's, I think part of the comments, if I can put him, said it's been pretty hostile even for them. So I'm not sure that will go anywhere. Then I think the other one was, David, Felix, I think what you also mentioned was on, what was the second question?
Eric, I think you've covered that extensively on Safcom. Maybe now a final thing that I'd want us to discuss on, because I'm seeing we've discussed Safcom for quite some time. Maybe just parting shots on Safcom. Maybe I'll start with Charles, and then probably Davis, and then Eric. Just a parting shot on Safcom, and then we can touch on the banks, because a lot of banks have released their results over the past 3 days. To be interested, just to also give guys a little bit of an outlook on what the banking sector is all about this week. Charles, if you're still within.
Yeah, so you wanted for me to make a comment on Safaricom parting shot?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, well, I still see Safaricom to be a significant player in terms of the way our NSC performs. I expect it to continue performing in terms of financially quite strongly. I think its entry into Ethiopia, that initially I can see it may have a demand on its balance sheet in terms of investment and also setting up the whole infrastructure there. So I'm really keen to see how that trickles down in its financials. I wish them all the best. I think it's a good venture for a Kenyan company to spread its wings into the region to that extent. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks. Davis?
Yeah. Parting shot. Well, some wisdom to be used in if you're investing in the company. This is an advice to buy or sell anything. Not am I representing the company I work for, but these are my opinions. So some insight or some wisdom needs to be inferred or used when investing in the company, especially when the share price is valued this highly. If you were an investor earlier, you know, before this, you're not giving into the overexuberance of the market at present. You stay an investor, you look into the future prospects, you see how the market will do. You see when they enter the market, you start seeing the growth rates. You'll focus in particular the growth rates. The bottom line won't even be something of importance, but top line growth, you have to kind of view the SPV almost as a startup of sorts. And with that in mind, you'll know whether in the long run this company will be profitable, whether the market is favorable toward the company increasing its prices so that it meets operational expenses, it's able to meet capex in and of itself. That's for the subsidiary that's being listed or that's going into that market. So yeah, just a lot of considerations going forward. Among the things or mistakes investors have been doing, especially in this market, so if you are in the global market more so, is that there's been a lot of investment into companies trading at extremely high multiples. And the risk of that is that future growth has already been taken into account. I mean, if you invest into a company that's trading, let's say at 2x its estimated 10-year earnings or revenues, if you will, there's not much growth to be expected on the counter going forward for the next 10 or so years. There's likely to be underperformance in that particular counter. You know, as the saying for Warren Buffett goes, if I were to paraphrase, it's better to buy a fair company at a great price than a great company at a fair price. You get, because it's highly likely that this company, the great company that you're buying at a high valuation, is likely to underperform the rest of the market. But then again, you know, people have been calling Safaricom overvalued for oh so long, and yet it's time and time again it's shown them that its valuation is justified with the growth rates, that it's worth a company worth investing in. Yeah, maybe those are my two cents.
Awesome. Eric, parting shots on Safcom?
My parting shots on Safcom, I think the concerns for me would be how the financing structure of that expansion. In as much as I think I've mentioned, there's the DFC, the US government owned international finance corporation. I think they're part of the people that are funding that entire expansion. I think well for them, but I think a lot of costs are going to incur at the initial stages. I don't know how they'll price that on their balance sheet. Yeah, the other one was the current valuation of the share price. My thinking is that I think people who are aware of the current happenings around the expansion into Ethiopia, I think some investors, my personal opinion is that the current share price already, I think it's priced in the expansion into Ethiopia. That's, I think that people have already priced that in. So I don't expect much movement in the share price. So I think where it is at the moment, maybe I think that probably that's why it should remain there for a couple of days. So I don't expect much, because my thinking is that it's already priced to the expansion into Ethiopia. Thanks.
All right, awesome. I believe on my end, just to touch on something that Eric has mentioned about the DFC, my primary concern for Safaricom would really be, for the entire consortium that is in Ethiopia, would be how is the DFC, if the US continues to, because last week, on Saturday actually, on the same day when Safaricom and the consortium received the award, is the same day that US actually imposed more sanction on Ethiopia for the war on Tigray. So my concern would really be if there is that sanction, if it continues to stand, then the DFC might not really be able to invest in the consortium, because really it the sanction limits any form of financial activity from America, from the US into Ethiopia. So I know that would be a little bit of a challenge. But I remember when we asked Peter that, he mentioned that that is a new development as well. So we're really hoping that it's something that won't stand in that long. So that's something we'd really be looking into, guys. Meanwhile, even as you invest on Safaricom, as you invest on any other company that is listed on the Nairobi Securities Exchange and in any other market globally, always remember to continue doing your own research at any point before you can be able to buy securities. And always remember that stocks, regardless of what we say here, stocks and any other security have a level of volatility pegged into them. And it's never an assurance that if you buy a stock today, there's a high possibility, there's any possibility that there's a guaranteed return. That's one thing that as an investor, you need to be prepared on. So that's been it for Safaricom, guys. Maybe just to move into the next bit is the banking sector. A lot of banks have released their results, but maybe we touch on two major banks, which today I know probably Davis was following up, and it sounded a little bit of it had a touch of personalization, where equity is directly comparing itself now with KCB. I think the two Kenyan giants, the two banks that are listed on the NSE as well. There are a lot of other banks. I know the other week we talked about Absa and Cooperative Bank. So today we might just have a little bit of a look on Equity Group. And KCB has released the results this evening. I don't know if guys have really had an opportunity to go through KCB's Q1 results. DTB as well has released the Q1 results. But maybe if we just touch a little bit on equity. And Davis, if you've gone through KCB, you can also touch on that as well. That's one thing that I just want you to touch on, and then probably Eric will also join in later. I know Eric, you followed equities results today. That's something you'd want to mention in as well, but I'll start with Davis.
Okay. So disclaimer, I wasn't on the call or the entirety of the call for this morning, but I'll be on the investors or analysts call. I think it's on Friday, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I'll really follow up on that. But it's amazing to see the both top line and bottom line growth for the company. You're seeing things such as interest income going up by a whooping 31%. Interest expenses, of course, were still a bit high. Of concern with regard to all these banks, for each and every bank, I'm just seeing, okay, there are mixed results. You know, some banks are announcing high growth in earnings, others negligible at best. For a lot of them, you're seeing that they're reducing their loan loss provisions, whereas non-performing loans are increasing quite significantly. Now, going forward, that's a chief concern. So to give people a bit of a context, last year, the central bank suspended interest payments of sorts for people. So if you go to your bank, you renegotiate with them, they give you a moratorium, loan restructuring, you can be given a payment holiday for 3 to 12 months. Now that expired in March. So going forward, we really need to watch the loan book or asset deterioration, especially in Q2, because that's when now a lot of the banks are following up on their loans. I was on the call with management when CopBank gave the earnings, the analyst call, and of the restructured loans similar to just CopBank, they said that of the restructured loans, so they restructured 49 billion worth of loans, they expected that only roughly 2% of these loans would be unrecovered or will have difficulty being paid later on, you know, is based on their risk metrics, etc. And a lot of banks have been testifying of the same. So they've been saying, okay, because of all the restructurings, I believe even Equity has restructured to the extent that some of these loans have been extended between 1 to 3 years. You know, of chief concern with Equity in the past, it was that a lot of the loan book comprised of SMEs, and under unfavorable market conditions, SMEs really do tend to suffer, which would have made the bank suffer. But it's good that their portfolio has continued to be diversified, hence offsetting that or hedging against such risks. Equity for me is an amazing bank. Their regional expansion has been really, really great. The growth rates with regard to their subsidiaries have been amazing. It's amazing just the way the leadership is taking that company. I know they've really embraced fintech. 98% of transactions occur outside of branch. There's just so much growth prospects in the company going forward, and I believe that they've adequately provisioned or taken into account the risks going forward in these markets that they're at presently going into. Yeah, those are my insights on equity. With regard to KCB, I looked at the earnings. I haven't really gone deeply into them. I'll possibly do that tomorrow, but I saw total income was at 8.7%, deposits were up 1.2, loans and advances were up 8%, which is good because I believe banks like Absa, some banks even recorded, like maybe Absa and Stanchart, so you need to confirm this, particularly Absa, is that they recorded a reduction in assets in that particular regard, which is of concern for a bank if it's not doing top line growth. So similar to a lot of these banks, loan loss provisions for KCB decreased, which is of some concern. I would expect a lot of banks to be, you know, maintaining their provisions as is. But then, as we'd mentioned a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, banks were adequately provisioned going forward. And of concern for KCB is that their non-performing loans have gone up quite significantly. Their loan book is highly susceptible to risks such as the COVID-19 pandemic associated with risks which have had a lot of or led to non-performance of a lot of loans. So those are of chief concerns. I believe KCB's NPLs have gone up the highest in the industry, or at least in Q1, as far as Q1 goes. So that is of chief concern going forward, you know, a lot of deterioration. Well, I do believe that they're adequately provisioned. It seems as if at this point in time, again, don't quote me, that's, you know, banks is they like to play with the NPLs provisions, you know, to increase or decrease profits depending on how things are, depending on requirements by the CBK, etc. So if you're an investor in KCB, the things to watch out for going forward is that impact of NBK, National Bank, the bank that they have been pushing liquidity into. You have to realize that NBK has brought in so many NPLs, and this is going to affect KCB's bottom line as it has, and it will continue to affect it going forward. So those are, or that's among the chief risks going forward as far as KCB goes, from what I've seen. Yeah. Thanks, Felix.
Thanks a lot, Davis. I know that's something that's very interesting. I don't know if we should touch probably on equity and KCB after we get to the investors' call. Because I know there are a lot of questions that a lot of guys would probably have, and we might not have answers to them. Because an example is something that I'd really be interested in is Mwangi today mentioned that they're hoping that by the end of the year, there would be the leading bank. That's Equity BCDC, the leading bank in Congo. And they're also targeting to probably find ways of venturing into Ethiopia. So now that Ethiopia is opening up its market, so those are questions that I know a lot of investors might probably be wondering, and probably I wouldn't want us to mention that until we get a little bit of a clarification on that bit. So Davis, I don't know if that's okay with you. We can actually touch this next week on Wednesday or on Monday after we get to the call from both KCB and also Equity Bank.
Yes, that's okay.
All right. Charles, do you want to mention anything on the banks?
Yeah, I think for me, I'm usually very interested with equity. I think the trend in terms of its performance has been quite good. I liked the approach that James Mwangi took during the COVID period, suspending dividend, just making sure that they are liquid enough to take advantage of opportunity. I think that among the tier one banks is quite a bold move to take I expect that they will be significantly hit as accounts, as loans come off the payment holiday period, the restructure period. So I expect quite a chunk to move into delinquency. I know you mentioned around 66 billion was still on payment holiday and would be in the normal payment profile from September 2021. I think he's quite optimistic about that. As Davis has mentioned, I think given majority of their book is largely SME, then we expect to see quite the hit there. I think our economy may take longer to recover, also on the MSME and SME segments. So for me, I think equity will I anticipate for it for the full year probably to get a hit there. Thanks.
All right, thank you. Eric, something you'd want to mention on the banks?
Not much comments on the banking sector, but I think maybe what I've noticed is that there's been quite an improvement on the bottom line, I think, compared to the 2Q1 last year, or even to the entire, when you compare Q1 last year and this year, I think there's a huge, there's a significant improvement. And also when you compare the last quarter of last year and this first quarter, I think there's very significant improvement. So I think for the sector, I think which essentially means that the economy is beginning to pick up. So I think things are looking well for the banking side. So I think that's all for me.
All right, awesome. And then also, guys, in case you have the HISA app, it's not only the equity call that is going in through. Seth is actually saying that he'll be having a Britam, I'll call it Britam management tomorrow. So that's something you can be able to, you can be able to just drop a few questions. If you're on the HISA app, it's the latest chat on the discussion forum. So, but if you had to get the HISA app, you just go to Play Store, install HISA app. You can also be able to just watch markets and just have a little bit of an outlook of how markets are performing. He's mentioned Britam, and I'm just checking that Britam was slightly on the positive edge, gaining about 1.4% on the market to about 7 shillings and 20 cents. I personally have a lot of questions. I'm going to be in there and just probably ask a few things as well. I'll share my thoughts with him so that he can be able to probably ask. And then he's also here on the forum. He'll be able to give us a response at the end of that call tomorrow. So I know another thing that a lot of guys have been waiting for us to talk about today has been on the first of all, before I move into that, as we conclude on the markets, bit the local markets, I know a lot of guys really wanted us to just touch a little bit on how the tech side has been performing. That's on the cryptocurrency side. I don't know if Kaptich is in because he wanted to talk about something on that. I'm seeing Kaptich is not in, so maybe you just allow me to call in today's session at that. Thanks a lot, Charles. Thanks a lot, Eric and Davis. Okay, guys, thanks a lot for that. I believe we can be able to catch up again next week on Wednesday as we discuss more on markets. Once again, my name is Felix Ochenga. I was your host for today. Our guests today, we had Davis Gavinji, we had Charles Karuri, and also Eric Asuma. And I believe they've shared a lot of insights regarding investing, basically what's happened this week on the banks, and also a little bit of an in-depth analysis on Safaricom's move to get into Ethiopia. This recording will be available to you on the HISA app. You can be able to get this and much more recordings from the previous sessions of Bulls, Bears, and Whiskey. Thank you all and have a lovely evening.